Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
What is the good of following God? It's full of difficulty and heartache. I have to put aside all my lustful pleasures. What's the good of that? Well, I'll tell you what the good of that is. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." God's intentions toward you are good. When you put Him first, rather than your life being empty or boring, it becomes filled with excitement. In fact, following Jesus with all your heart is the most exciting ride you could ever imagine. Just the things which we have personally experienced as we serve the Lord would fill a book. The truth of the miracles we have witnessed far surpasses fiction. And we're just one small family. The Bible says, "In Him are pleasures forevermore." And that's what we're going to talk about today, the pleasures of serving the Lord. And they will surprise you. Stay tuned right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. As I promised, we're going to talk about the pleasures that come from serving God and giving our lives completely to Him. The Bible says that there are infinite joys in God, many of which we can't even know about at this time. Paul says that the joys of heaven are unspeakable. That is, we can't even comprehend them now. But there are some joys we can know about now, and we're going to go through just a few of them at this point. First, there are definite emotional joys that come simply from being close to God. When our soul is at home with its Maker, it is at rest and content. The psalmist says in Psalm 131, "Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me." This is a delightful comfort that comes to us when we spend time with God. It is not limited in any way to our outward circumstances. In fact, the greater the storm around us, the greater the comfort He provides. Few have been through trials worse than King David, as he was relentlessly pursued by his enemy for many years. Yet he called God his stronghold and his refuge. Psalm 16 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and in thy right hand there are pleasures forever." David was not dealing with allegorical enemies as we might today, when we pray that God would deliver us from the enemy. When David wrote Psalm 27, he was literally surrounded by an army of thousands of men. Each of them had only one thought, and that was to kill him. Yet, in spite of this, he says he was confident and his heart did not fear. David had learned the secret of being close to God. He knew that despite an army encamped against him, he could have peace and comfort by drawing close to God. In the midst of his circumstances, he writes, "One thing have I asked from the Lord, and that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." He knew that the presence of God was a very real place. It is not merely a figurative drawing close to God. God is a person, and when we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. He speaks directly of this matter in the next verses. "For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock." This secret place of the Most High is the hidden weapon of defense that is ours as children of God. It is a quiet place of joy into which we can run no matter how awful the trials are that might befall us. The door is never closed to us. As we hide in that secret place, all the panic and the fears subside. All the wounds are treated and a deep, quiet joy returns to us. One of David's thoughts is particularly relevant to us. He says in Psalm 31, verse 20, "You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues." There is little that causes more pain than the criticism directed at us from family, boss, friends, or Christian workers, and it can be devastating. The worst part is, we don't seem to be able to get past it. The words keep coming to us and the wounds stay raw. Jesus' presence is the healing ointment for those hurt places. We draw close to him in the secret place of the Most High, and a very real, tangible peace fills us and soothes us. Nothing in this world can compare to that quiet place in God. It is unfortunate that so few Christians even know that place exists. It is entered by spending a prolonged period of time with him. If we simply fire off a prayer to him, he might answer it, but we will not have a sense of his comfort that only comes from spending time with him. David knew the secret place and spent much time there. But it is not only quiet joy and strength that God offers us. He also gives us gladness and joy. As we read further in the same psalm, we find David saying, "And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." So it is right and proper to give thanks to the Lord with our whole heart because he himself puts a well of joy within us. I have often said that if you look at the happiest person you have ever seen, he or she, without exception, will be a Christian who is walking close to Jesus. Joy is an inevitable byproduct of a life that is given over to him. And how could it not be? God is the fountain of life. He is the river of delights. He is the sum of all beauty and excellence. If we draw close to him, these properties automatically become ours. It is a very poor analogy, but when people in the world want to become elated, they spend time drinking alcohol. The effect of the alcohol is a given. If you drink it, it produces a stimulating effect. In somewhat the same way, if we earnestly seek God, we are drinking from the pure wells of salvation. Drinking that living water produces a definite effect. It causes the spiritual man to become elated and joyous. It's a given. It is the property of God. Whereas the intoxication of the world is numbing and produces many awful side effects, drinking from the fountain of life brings crystal clear understanding and exquisite pleasure. Again, don't take my word for it. Try it yourself. Jesus is joy. Try this little experiment. When you plan a get-together with friends, especially friends from church, you are taking a chance that the evening may turn out flat. It may end up stiff or uncomfortable. If you will be so bold as to introduce Jesus into the gathering, you will be amazed by what happens. Jesus is the life of the party. If he is sought and included in the get-together, you'll find it a most pleasant and enjoyable event. Jesus brings life and joy wherever he is, and he delights to bless fellowship. Remember that if you are someone who likes to party. We're going to move on to lesson 26 in the book that we are going through right now. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. We've been covering it for the last number of radio programs, and if you missed them, you can either order a copy of the book from Amazon, Through the Narrow Gate, or you can go to our website, Skies Revival Radio, and you'll find previous lessons archived that you can access and listen to at your leisure. We're going to talk now about the joys of the intellect. Another area that God delights to bless us in is the joys of the intellect. It tends to be a rather neglected area of the church today because so much emphasis is currently placed on the joys of worship. But the joys of godly study can equal or even surpass the emotional joys of worship. God desires to take that bit of neglected hardware that fills the inside of our heads and fire it up. What he has given us is the most complex, sophisticated computer gear imaginable. It is capable of things actually beyond our imagination. The tiniest part of a human brain is infinitely superior to the greatest supercomputer. God made it. That says it all. You may feel like yours is a little dull right now from lack of use, but if you give it to God, he'll service it for you, and you'll be surprised how it jumps back into life. The key is to take the first step. First things first. The devil knows that the human mind is capable of wonderful things. Your mind is capable of wonderful things. His great challenge is to take that amazing hardware and render it useless. All he has to do is capitalize on the laws of thermodynamics. Part of those laws state that unless energy is exerted, all things tend to break down. Higher forms degenerate into lower forms, not vice versa. This law explains why our vehicles rust away and break down unless they're constantly maintained. Our human vehicle is just the same. If it's not continually maintained, it will also break down. And our brain is part of that. Unless force is exerted on it, it will tend to break down. The higher form will degenerate into a lower form. All your enemy has to do to make your mind useless is to make sure that you don't use it. It will naturally begin to decay. The Puritans were acutely aware of this process, so they worked hard at mind maintenance. Their strict attention to educating their children was based on the fact that they knew anything that was left untended would go to seed. It was clearly evident in their gardens, so it was no mystery to them. If a garden were left without proper attention, it would be full of weeds, and the winter's vegetables would be lost. So special care was given to the garden in fertilizing it, plowing it up, weeding it, and watering it. If these things were properly done, they could expect wholesome produce. They tended their children in much the same way. They considered a child's mind to be fertile soil, which, if properly fertilized, plowed, seeded, weeded, and watered, would produce great things. And they were right. On the other hand, if those things were neglected, the produce would be ruined. And that's where we are today. By negligence in weeding and watering, minds everywhere, young and old, are going to seed. Today, instead of fertilizer to enrich the soil, we pour kerosene on it. In days gone by, the young mind was trained to receive knowledge. Now it's left to its own devices, being ruined with every type of ungodly video game, TV, entertainment, and worse. Where a mind would formerly have been seeded with stimulating books and knowledge, now we actually plant weed seeds. The books which were previously used for primary grades, take for example the McGuffey readers, were far beyond our current college level, both in content and in vocabulary. Now we expect nothing of our children, and we get what we expect. We assume everyone has a short attention span and can't comprehend anything, and so they don't. Where they would have diligently weeded, we now just let things grow up naturally. We somehow expect an untended garden to bring forth flowers and fruit. The weeding is discipline. Their little minds were made to be attentive and to focus on their lessons. And the result, their brains grew. Watering was also vital, without which nothing can come up. The watering was the word of God and prayer, which was mixed liberally into the program. Since God in everything provides the increase, when he is removed, all real growth stops. So much for the state of our educational system. The question is, what do we do now? Though many brains have been sadly neglected, the wondrous thing is that nearly everything that was lost can be restored. God has indeed made our minds like a garden. The soil is still there, and if properly worked, delightful things can still come forth. So the first step in reworking that patch is to take all the litter and the trash out of it. You can imagine an abandoned field which has become home to old washing machines, burnt out cars, and rusty piles of scrap metal. So is the mind cluttered with every type of garbage today. Therefore, in we go and start getting rid of it. We haul out tons and tons of trash, and with each load, the land becomes cleaner. We remove the filthy, blasphemous entertainment which has made our garden into a wasteland. We haul out the disgusting piles of magazines. We clean up all the litter of trivial, meaningless information. We chase off the wild coyotes that fill our property with mind-numbing noise and distraction. And lo and behold, what do we find underneath all of the mess? Good soil. Though it's been polluted for years, underneath it's all good dirt. And that dirt is your dirt. That is property which God has given you for your own pleasure and productivity, and it can be restored. Next, we begin to fertilize it and plow it. How do we do that? Well, fertilizing means putting nutrients back into the soil, and plowing means we begin to work the earth. We do that simply by beginning to use it. We fertilize and plow by starting to read. And I don't mean the little sound bites used today for the attention challenge. I mean, start to actually read something that you feel is too hard for you. Something intelligent and edifying. Start with small goals. You may not want to begin with Spurgeon's Lectures to My Students, but then again, you might. Start with something like the inspiring story of a Christian missionary that easily gets your attention. Where do you find something like that? Well, ask us and we'll help you. That's why we're here. Or go to a used book site and look for Jonathan Goforth, Gladys Allward, Mary Slessor, Hudson Taylor. This will get you going in the right direction. After a short while, you'll find yourself reading easily and greatly enjoying it. This is tilling that valuable soil of ours by forcing it to work. I'm going to have to leave off there because we're out of time, but we have a lot more interesting material to cover in the next lesson. So we look forward to joining you then. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you and inspire you to fire up that piece of gear and start training your mind on the things above. God bless you all. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.